Will, you don't have to go through their old love letters. Give them their dignity, Mattie said, snatching it from him and returning it to the ribbon-tied bundle. She was actually thinking of the letters she'd written Frank while she was in California and he was in New York. Even as she'd written them, she feared that one day all that passion would turn to bitter regret. There were only so many slaps, burns, and losses that a love could survive, but she'd stayed with him for longer than most would have done. Typically, Frank had rarely replied to her letters, preferring the telephone. But she understood why Eliza, usually so unsentimental, had kept those old letters, even when the thing had ended badly. She'd often thought she would love to burn every word she'd written to Frank. But, perversely, she'd kept his few replies, perhaps as evidence that she'd had good reason at one stage to believe in his love. "I'll have to leave you two to get on with it," she said, and went to get dressed for a stint at the Green Ginger. She'd felt obliged to start paying Will rent, and Katie's offer had at least given her the chance to earn some instant cash. When she returned in a sapphire blue cocktail dress with a fur-trimmed bolero, Will was tipping his mother's papers upside down, growling with increasing frustration. Mattie could smell the dust of her sister's past rising as the boy rifled through the pile. He looked up distractedly. "I must get it sorted out before I go off with Feathers," Will had informed Mattie that he would be staying with his friend at Fonston, the Featherstones' large country house. "I've promised victims of German fascism they'll have the money this year, and I've decided the proceeds from the house are going to International Red Aid. Ma won't have left me a lot, but it's probably enough to keep a revolutionary cell going for 10 years. He held Mattie's gaze, seeking her approval. "I'm obligated, Mattie. It's no good preaching solidarity, is it, if I don't follow it through?" Mattie was silent for a moment as she looked in the mirror above the mantelpiece. She pressed her auburn waves into position, but her hair and makeup were immaculate and didn't really need checking. She was looking instead at the reflection of Will's earnest face and realizing how much he was his mother's son. His physical resemblance to Ernest James meant Mattie had always thought Will took after his father. But in his extreme desire for justice, he was just like Eliza. "Of course you've got to stick to your principles, Will. It's your money and your property. You do what you like with it." She perched a shell-shaped blue hat with a cockade on the side of her head. Just because it was the Green Ginger didn't mean she needed to abandon all vestige of her West End style. Satisfied, she turned away from the mirror and picked up her bag. Inside were a lipstick and powder compact, and a purse containing 3 shillings and 2d halfpenny. The earnings from her provincial tour had gone to pay off some of Frank's demands. She was officially broke. This wasn't the first time Will had spoken of his intention to give away the inheritance from his mother. His father's money was in trust and would only come to Will once he'd completed his reviled Cambridge degree. Mattie thought this was a wise proviso on the part of Ernest James. Perhaps he'd taken a keener interest and known his son better than Will ever gave him credit for. A loud thud from above was followed by the sound of slow footsteps on the stairs. Sam pushed through the door, holding a cardboard box. It looked like an old Worth dress box.
"Oh, this is the last one from the attic," Sam said, letting it fall beside Will, coughing as a thick layer of dust was dislodged from its top. "You'll have to go through it, Will. I'll promise to be back home before the boys go to bed."
Will drew the box towards him with a groan.
"Oh, the perils of having literate parents," he muttered.
"I'll walk down with you," Sam said to Mattie. And though unreadable to most people, Mattie could see that he was irritated. Once out in the crisp night air, she put her arm through her brother's. "Has he been getting on your nerves?" she asked immediately.
"Oh, I know he's young and he's got his principles," he said. "But doesn't he know charity begins at home? There's people in the family might need it just as much as a Russian revolutionary."
He gave her a pointed look, which she didn't like.
"Sam, it's not up to us to judge. We can only guide him and we'll do it."